first song that was sang this afternoon said, "Thou my everlasting portion." That's what he is to us. And that portion is everlasting. It's not just something that's temporary today only, Bruce. But Christ is forever. Salvation in him is forever. Our new bodies are forever with him. I like those words. I enjoyed both messages this morning thoroughly. They were very convincing, very scriptural. I appreciate them. I believe it was God's word. I just wish that our visitors were still here. I speak boldly when I say that, but I believe that that's understood. But we're here. And some here, we never know when somebody's here out of habit, which could be me, and not know the truth of God's word. It's so many times people make a habit of going to church or reading the scripture, but it hadn't taken a root in their heart. Bruce, I worry about myself sometimes. I really do. I try not to say that foolishly, but when I say it, I strive. Am I speaking loud enough for you ladies to hear? I mean, sometimes. But before I look into the thoughts that I had, I want to read some old scriptures that I've read before and that we have had here before. One passage is in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And all of these scriptures that these men stood and read this morning, they come out of this book. Just per chance that there's someone didn't believe one of them, Bruce. I want to read this scripture right here. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. I'm not reading this just for me. I'm reading it for all of us here. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All the scripture that we read and study and hear in this lifetime here, it's not given to us foolishly. It's given that we might learn and be able to maybe expound upon it and tell some poor lost soul the truth of God's word. It said they're all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Man did not make these stories up, did not make this scripture up. Oh, let me read one more thing about that scripture. Over in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, you know, some people really have trouble with what they hear, what God has said in this book. I just read you all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Here it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I know I've used this before. Maybe somebody hadn't heard it before. "Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you." But the part that I want you to remember is up there where it says, "I change not." His word that was read this morning by Brother JT and Brother Bruce over here, it's the absolute truth. It's out of God's word. It cannot be altered. You know, we might say something else, but God's word cannot be altered. Today, even though it's not Easter, today we're going to talk about the resurrection again. And I guess I'm going to start. So many different places on my mind. But let's start in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Let's see if I can find it here. Somewhere in here, there's a Hebrews, chapter 11. Okay, the first scripture I want you to look at is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Now, it was mentioned this morning about the women received their dead raised to life again. So was it. But I want you to notice the words down there a little bit later. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. We cannot take anything away from the resurrection that our Lord was involved with. But there were so many in the land at that time, at this particular moment, and even in our lifetimes, said, well, this is the way you've got to live to be right with God. You've got to be baptized. You've got to stop smoking. Do you believe that, Betty? You got to. I haven't either. But what I'm speaking of is sin in our lifetime today. The government, the wicked, others that were living here upon the earth at that particular time, they always had a better way of being right before God. And they said, well, some of those things are not so. But they strove to twist the arms of those that belong to the Lord. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I believe that when the Lord revealed himself to me, there was a resurrection involved. But it's one that's in progress, Brother JT, I believe. We have a day coming where we'll stand before him in judgment. And some will be told to stand over here on the left-hand side, the goats. And some will be instructed to stand over on the right-hand side, the sheep. I pray that all of us here belong on the side of the sheep. But there are some that didn't belong on the righteous side. They were ungodly and they were unrighteous. So the scripture seems to say that they were to be separated from all the others. And they were separated. And we'll get to that more in a minute. In this chapter, Paul shows us what enabled these saints to serve God under such adverse circumstances. It was by faith. Now, I believe that Paul wrote this book. Some don't believe it, that it was written by Paul, but I believe that it was. But go back to verse 1 where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That scripture that we were talking about. God's word. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. By faith, Abel. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch. Verse 7. By faith, Noah. That's what this is called, the faith chapter. By faith, Abraham. Well, let me read this verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without this faith. Yea, he establishes that faith in us. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that is, God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, they search him out. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Remember the words far off. He knows you every moment of the day. And we've already discussed some of these things this morning. He knows every event in your life. He knows you afar off. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Well, let's see here. Verse 17, by faith Abraham. I already read that one. Verse 17. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Do we have the kind of faith that these men had? Sure would be good if we did. And we go all the way down to verse 35, and I'll take a shortcut there. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. All of these men that lived it by faith, they had a vision of an eternal resurrection with the Lord. They believed in it. They believed in God. They had faith in Him. They had faith in a better resurrection. But there are others in the Bible that had faith. We don't have time to look at all of them. One of them is, I like the one we see over in the book of Job. Job 19. He had faith. And I want to read verse 25 through 27. It says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Because we have faith. Because that faith has been added unto us. We know that our Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. A lot of people don't know that verse, Brother JT. One day they're going to stand before God and they're going to see him. Job here says he will see God. And verse 27 says, whom I shall see for myself, my own eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. No matter what is consumed within him, he knows that he has faith, and one day he's going to stand before God and he's going to see him. In our text, this resurrection was better than the deliverance that their enemies offered them. The enemies offered them a solution to all their problems. I'm going to go ahead and read a comment that was found in some article here. I'm going to quote it, but it's under the proconsul said to Polycarp. Proconsul, some kind of government position. And no matter who it is, Polycarp said to Polycarp, and Polycarp had faith in the Lord. And he gave God pleasure. And he was satisfied with what he had known from the Lord. And Polycarp says, the proconsul said, swear and I will release thee. Rival Christ. Deny Christ. Don't memorize the scripture. That's not what Polycarp said, but I said that. Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and in nothing hath he wronged me. And how then can I blaspheme my king who saved me? Polycarp was not going to deny the Lord. The proconsul said, I have wild beasts at hand. To these will I cast thee, except thou repent. But Polycarp answered, and he said, call them then, for we are not accustomed to repent of what is good in order to adopt that which is evil. And it is well for me to be changed from what is evil to what is righteous. But again the proconsul said to him, I will cause thee to be consumed by fire. Big threat. Seeing thou despisest the wild beast. If thou wilt not repent, if you don't deny Christ, and you don't repent of it, you got a problem with me, the government. Or some wicked person. But Polycarp said, thou threatenest me with fire which burneth for an hour, and after a little is extinguished, but art ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and of eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why tarriest thou, but for bring forth what thou wilt? In other words, go right ahead, do whatever you want to me. Throw me in the lion's den. Cast me into a fire somewhere. Burn me at the stakes. But he wasn't going to deny the Lord. Arthur W. Pink remarked, "It is very touching to remember that the hand which first penned those words had taken a prominent part in inflicting torture." Speaking of the verse we read up there in the book of Hebrews. "Upon the saints of God, but by grace he was now a sharer of them." Paul had some terrible moments in his lifetime. But most preachers today wish they could preach like he could. I believe some of them can, but the Lord give him grace and the ability to do what he did. So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Bruce, where it describes some of his the things that's happened in his own life, and he confessed it. Verse 24, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." That was 39. "Three was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." That's not talking about he was on a sailboat out there, Joel. He was in the water. "Night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the brethren, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren," which is the worst, "in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness," end quote. But now he would have a better resurrection. That's the kind of resurrection we're talking about. He had some better things to expect. We have some better things to expect in eternity with the Lord. In Acts 8 and 3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." That's the kind of life he was, the way he was living. He was very violent against the church at that time. And over in chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord." Paul was then converted. He preached the gospel. He now had a better resurrection. Brother JT, I believe we have that better expectations of that better resurrection, of going to heaven to be with the Lord. The resurrection is what sets Christianity apart from all other religions. The cults, they don't have any expectation of a resurrection, better resurrection. Not in the least. All of those without any kind of hope in the Lord, those that don't belong to the Lord, they cannot claim, if they do claim it, they don't know what they're talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, we see the words, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If the Lord Jesus Christ was not resurrected, if he did not come forth from the grave, we're wasting our time coming down here to church on Sundays. We're wasting our time preaching the gospel, what we call the gospel. But the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. He came forth with great power. But because we have a better resurrection, our faith is not in vain and our preaching is not in vain. That's the reason we come down here. We come down here to worship him. We come down here to sing songs unto him. We come down here to pray for each other and to go to before him in prayer. We rejoice at this moment. I look forward to it every Sunday to come down here. I look forward to Tuesday night too, Bruce. I really do. Some might think it's a waste of time. But it's not. Anytime we open God's word, it's a blessing. We can rejoice that one day we have a better resurrection. The saints will miss this. Some saints will miss this resurrection. Well, that statement might be a little confusing. But you know what? All of us that are alive, we're not going to be buried in the into the grave. Nobody's going to come forth to see us at our funeral. We're just going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery, Bruce. We shall not all sleep. Brother JT, I hope that today the Lord returns, because I don't want to go to sleep. By the way, this sleep here is not a sleep like I slept last night, and I slept very well for a few hours, never how long it was. But this sleep here is a sleep in the grave when you're not breathing no more, when you're dead. This body, this flesh of ours has no more oxygen going through the bloodstream. But we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall..." That's what it says. "And we shall be changed." Some will not have to go into the grave. And they won't experience that resurrection at the grave . So many people don't understand this particular point right here. Found in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, 24 and 15. "There shall be a resurrection of the dead." I'm speaking of those that are in the grave. Let me read it again. "There shall be a resurrection of the dead." Speaking of that body. "Both of the just and unjust." Nobody's going to be left out. It doesn't say anything about how long it is between these two periods, and I'm not here to discuss that right now. But the clarity of the scripture is very clear. All from the time of Adam, the first Adam, all the way till today, all the way to the time when the Lord returns, when that resurrection takes place, every single person has gone into the grave. And I'm not just speaking of the grave, Brother Bruce. I believe all of those that died in the ocean, I believe all of those that were smashed in that tower collapsing for 9/11, you know, when 9/11 when it took place, they were crushed under those stones, and some of the bodies have never been found. Now, I don't know whether they knew the Lord or not, Brother JT. I don't know that. But the thing about it is, the Lord knows where they are. And this scripture here says, both. There shall be a resurrection of the dead. And for, in John 5:28-29, marvel not at this. Bruce, yeah, I believe you used that scripture, didn't you? Somebody did. Marvel not at this. You use the word marvel anyway. So marvel at this. He says, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. There's no need to marvel about it. It's going to happen. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When he says, uses the word damnation, he's speaking of those that were that are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Those that are going to hell, if that's a better word that you understand, well, hear it. The wrath of God is going to be exercised there. In Isaiah 33:17, now, I know I'm using a lot of scripture here, but this is going to back up on a place where we spoke of a moment ago. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. That's going to be a glorious day, Brother JT. We're going to see him in all of his beauty. Bruce, I appreciate it when in your prayers, and I'm not picking you out, but there are not very many here. But you say you love the Lord, and we do. But we're still looking for that day when we can look at him face to face and see him in all of his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. When we stand before him, we're going to realize who he really is. More of who he really is. He's God, manifested in the flesh. Manifested, we're going to see him face to face. Job, remember what Job said? He's going to stand before him and see him face to face. I like the words that Fanny Crosby uses. I shouldn't use it. I'm running out of time. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king and shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. I like those words. They're beautiful words. People of this world today have a real problem with this next point. They have the idea that it's all over with when you die. But it's not all over with. They have that. Some of them have the idea that everybody going into the grave, the soul is going to ascend and be with the heaven in heaven with the Lord. They forget all about the body. But this scripture right here in the book of Romans 8:23, JT, I believe you read it recently. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I hope the Lord returns before I have to go into the grave. It's awful dark in there. I want the Lord to return and change my body. But the body is going to stand before God also. Yes, there's a conversion there that takes place. I know that. A change that I don't exactly understand, but it's going to be incorruptible. It's going to be all spirit, but there's a body there. Now, for those with a better resurrection, just think of it. It's flawless. It's faultless. It's fadeless, with immortal bodies which disease can never touch, and sinless minds which sin can never darken. We shall live there in pure. Now, some wouldn't understand this word. So I hate to even use it. Pure rapture. That is a word. With our ever-living, ever-loving, everlasting Savior, King, unto the ages of the ages. He's a King of all ages. Before man ever stepped foot on the face of this earth until now, he's been King. Do you know what a King is? Bruce, didn't you give us a definition of a King? Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, he's over it. He's over this kingdom. What a hope we have in him. God's people will rise happily while the lost rise to everlasting shame. We will rejoice in the things of God. We will rejoice with him and bow before him and sing songs of gratitude, songs of praise. In Daniel 12:2, it says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life," a proof text, "and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Some to everlasting life. I must read it again. "And some to shame and everlasting contempt." They didn't believe in God. They denied him, let's put it that way. Jesus is not God. That's what I've heard him say that. The resurrection day will be a day of all days, when we realize that we belong to him for eternity, we will rejoice. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. But resurrection morning will be greater by far than this. Let me read this poem, another poem here. Dying Saints by John Dickey. Have you heard of that one, Bruce? I haven't either. Even though I wrote it there, I don't remember it. But it says, "Oh, tell no more about earth. I wish to have done with it all. Have you ever gotten to that point yet? I just wished I could get rid of this place. This body here on this earth. I get tired of it sometimes. It's bustle, it's business, it's sorrows, it's mirth. Oh, mine ears with strange weariness fall. But speak of my own home above." We have a home above. "And speak of the grace of my Lord. Repeat his sweet breathings of mercy and love." We can experience those things even in this lifetime. I know God's grace has benefited me many times in this lifetime. He's blessed me in many situations. If I repeated some of them, and I don't even remember what they all are, but you would wonder. I wonder sometimes just thinking about it. But the Lord's grace has been very good to us, Joyce. He's been good to us. There's music like heaven's in each word. I'd like to add, that's the end of that quote of that poem, but I'd like to add each word of his word here. Every time we read it, it's a blessing to us. It's a rejoicing to us. If you're not studying and reading God's word on a consistent, regular basis, you got a problem. It will be a time, and speaking of in heaven, it will be a time of great joy and singing. Look in Isaiah 26 and 19. Now, I'm not going to read the whole verse there. It says, "I'll wake and sing." When we go to be with him, we're going to be singing. We're going to be praising his name. "Ye that dwell in dust, are thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Earth shall cast out the dead. But we that are in heaven there with the Lord, we will be singing praises, glorifying him. I ain't got time to read all that contents there. I see you reading it, Bruce. That's okay. But there's going to be singing in heaven. Sing a new song. That's in the book of Exodus. Is that Genesis or Exodus? Exodus. Deuteronomy. Okay. "Their inbred sins require," another verse, by an unknown writer. I just wrote unknown out there beside it because I don't know who it was. "Their inbred sins require their flesh to see the dust. But as the Lord their Savior rose, so all his followers must." We will all arise that belong to him. No matter where we're found. Where in the world can people die? Some die on the operating table. We've already mentioned the ocean and some in that tower, but well, how about car wrecks? I mentioned one to Brother Bruce earlier. A brother that we have in that I met, I believe it was in Carthage where I first met him, or it might have been Bentley. But wherever the case was, we received notice last week that his daughter was killed in a car wreck. I hope she knows the Lord. I don't know. I never met the girl. She was 37 years old, and she died in a horrible car wreck. Of course, the family is very upset about it. But if she belonged to the Lord, to die is gain. She don't have to worry about any tickets today. I don't know how many children she had or anything like that. The believer has a better resurrection because it will be incorruptible. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 42, the scripture reads, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." Now, Brother JT, I really don't fully understand all of that. I know what incorruption is. In verse 43, the next verse, it says, "It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." Power, thank you. That was one of my questions. That's power over death. It is raised in power. Power over death. We have power over death because the Lord instilled it in us. Because the Savior did the work. If I'm saying that with some understanding. The believer has a better resurrection because he will be separated from the wicked, which we've already mentioned. What is a wicked person? To me, a wicked person is one that is lost. I'm trying to remember that word that we read, somebody read in Romans 1 and 29. What was that verse you read over there? Somebody read it. Romans. What was that word that, you'll understand when I read it. Reprobate mind. They were reprobates. That's what they are. In Matthew 25:32-33, it reads, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand." There's going to be a separation between the wicked and those that belong to the Lord. There's going to be a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous. The believer has a better resurrection because he shall be known by the Savior while the wicked shall not be known. Reminds me of that verse in Matthew 7 and 23 where it says, I never knew you. In Malachi 3 and 17, the scripture reads, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Serveth him. We have many benefits coming through the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us, and we'll receive many of these benefits in heaven. Some of them we receive here. I sure did have a good benefit from lunch. That was a benefit, Bruce. The Lord provides for us every day of our life. For the wicked, in Mark 16 and 15, now this is the one I want all of you to memorize. Remember this and where it is when you go out and you testify of God's grace upon you and you begin to talk to them about the Lord and they don't know the Lord and you sense it in everything that they know, but you can always deliver this word to them. He that believeth not shall be damned. The believer's days of suffering will be over. And the days of suffering for the wicked will have just begun. And they never end. That wicked person will receive the wrath of God upon them all the days there throughout eternity. Eternity is just one day. In Luke 16 and 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. And now he is comforted and thou art tormented. The saints shall forever be with the Lord. We've stated that in so many other ways. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, where many of the Arminians begin to read in there, not just this verse, but others, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall be ever with the Lord. Pay attention to those last words there, where it says, and so shall be ever with the Lord. When we pass on, Brother JT, all those people that you've helped bury out there, if they belong to the Lord, they're forever. That's confusing to some people. But those that know the truth, it's not confusing. Shall we ever be with the Lord? Even when there's a resurrection that takes place, there's no separation there. Another mystery. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, while we are here, the Lord is with us. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good, Joyce? And when we are called away, where we go? He's with us. Even into eternity, even in death, Even in war. Even if North Korea attacks us, the Lord is with us. I close with one statement. What is the final answer to pain, mourning, senility, insanity, terminal disease, sudden calamities, and fatal accidents? A better resurrection. That's my hope. Yes, I've experienced a hope in Christ, Brother JT, but I'm looking forward to that day when I'll be able to go with the Lord into heaven with Him throughout eternity, wherever heaven is. Wherever it is, Bruce. We'll be with it throughout ages and ages and ages again. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this time that we can look at your word. We pray that we have rightly divided it. Father, we're just thankful for all the blessings of life that you've added unto us. We're thankful for that day that we can look forward to. We realize that it's certainly a better resurrection than what we've been living in here in this earth. Father, we just thank you for this day. We ask you to be with our pastor, wherever he is, on his way home, or maybe standing and preaching today. We just ask you to give him liberty. We ask you to bring him home safe. Father, just be with him that we might see him again next week. We pray this in your name's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.